That's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me, my friend. You send those poor students home to cry.
No, that happens.
If I'm going to be like him, Steve, I got to get out of the business.
That's okay. Jack Ham will ask me all the time, how's your class going? And I'll say, I've ruined a lot of careers this week. just
good
with
to
advice.
Talk to you, man. How you been?
I'm doing great. How's the trip so far? I know you're driving down to Tuscaloosa. So,
Mark is taking care of that for me. He's doing
good
a great job
Mark.
So far. He's behind a truck right now, but we're about a third of the way there. So once we get there, we'll cross our fingers and hope that the game is still going to go on tomorrow. I mean, on Saturday.
Absolutely. Primetime CBS, Georgia, Alabama. Are you surprised? I mean, there shouldn't be a lot of surprise, but are you surprised that at this stage so early, these are the only two undefeated teams left in the SEC?
I thought it would be a little bit more parity, or at least some of the bottom would start coming to the top, or the middle teams would start coming to the top. I didn't know there was going to be, I didn't know LSU was going to lose two games this fast, even though they lost 14 guys to the NFL and three more that opted out. But, just shocked at some of the things that have gone on. That was our first game week one, and Mississippi State comes in and the air raid is working to perfection, and then that fiddled out after of the first week too. So been a lot of kind of weirdness going on, and I don't know if it's the lack of spring ball and the whole COVID situation and everything, but I think the tackling's really poor, and I think that's just because a lot of coaches decided probably not to go that route that heavy when they did get back to school. So there's a lot of offense going on right now, and the only team that's playing much defense is Georgia.
Right, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about here. What is it about how Georgia plays? Because you had a firsthand look at them. What is it about how they play defense that may seem a little bit different than everybody else at this stage? Because they're only giving up a dozen points a game.
Yeah, I think it's their depth more than the scheme. Although the scheme is good, and that's Kirby Smart's forte, and he does it really well. And Dan Lanning, who's his defensive coordinator, has been a nice addition as well. But some of the shifting they do before the snap created some havoc for Tennessee last week and caused some false start penalties. And just some of the disguises and coverage and that type of thing that they do, I guess, is probably better than a lot of people. But they got talent and they got depth. I mean, I know how you put your boards together when you're doing Penn State games and that type of thing, and you know how I do it. And you try to have, at least 11 spots, and then your board goes three deep. Well, I have to have like 36 guys, for Georgia's defense because they play that many. I think they had 36 guys actually last year that played over 100 snaps that have come back. They're back, So they just keep running them out there, and there's not a lot of difference in talent. They don't have one guy that I would say, wow, he's a superstar, but they got a whole bunch of guys that are going to play on Sunday that are just really good and play team ball, and, they run to the football and they're really fast, and I think the speed and the depth is the biggest thing for them right now.
I want to get to Stetson Bennett because, let's face it. I mean, obviously, somewhere 6 weeks ago, he had to be the fourth-string guy because Jamie Newman opted out.
Right.
JT Daniels physically wasn't ready. But they started DeJuan Mathis against Arkansas, so this had to be the fourth guy. So when
that's why he's Stetson Bennett the fourth. That's what I tell everybody. Not because he's one generation behind his dad. It's because he was the fourth guy in the depth chart. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But that's Bennett.
Yeah.
I mean it's a great story. I don't know if it will continue, but spent about a half an hour on a Zoom thing with him last week, and he's still getting used to the spotlight, but he's handling it really well. Yeah. Whether he can do it on the road against a team as good as Alabama, we'll have to wait and see. But, so far, it's not spectacular. It's, 60% of his passes or whatever, and, 230 yards a game, whatever. But he's not turning it over. He's not afraid to run. He probably should slide a little more when he does run. But he's waited his turn, man, and he's earned it. And I think it's just one of the coolest stories in sports right now going on.
And a big part of it is he hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. So in your conversations, whether it's Gary, Jamie, yourself, with Kirby Smart and Todd Monken, what have they said about him?
Kirby says one thing, and I'm going to have to think that it's true. He said we didn't play him a lot, or you didn't practice him as many reps because we knew what we had. Because he did play last year, you know, when Jake Fromm, when he just came in and slapped, you know, cleanup duty when Jake was out of the game. So, I mean, he got some time in last year, and they saw him, you know, they raved about him way back when they played Oklahoma in the playoff because he was the scout team quarterback, and he was supposed to be Baker Mayfield. And they said he did such a good job of it, it kind of ticked the defense off. It's like, who's this little guy running around over here, you know, that was maybe 185 pounds then? And they drove him crazy getting ready for Oklahoma in the playoff game. So I guess they knew his arm talent. He really does have a pretty good arm, and he throws from a lot of different angles. And Kirby kept saying, he's got a better arm than Jake Fromm. And I'm like, well, okay. And he goes, yeah, but we got other guys that we have to give reps to and would not have in spring ball. So when July rolled around, all you heard about was Jamie Newman. And then all of a sudden, Jamie, we barely knew ye. You know, he fails out with a month to go before the season starts. And then JT Daniels, and everybody said, well, his knee's still not ready. He's not cleared to play. And everybody said, well, when Newman's gone, it's got to be JT Daniels, five-star guy from USC, the whole thing. Right. And then when he wasn't cleared physically to play, they go, well, let's go back to DeJuan Mathis, who was our four-star guy out of Michigan, you know, that we thought was going to be a starter when he got here. And lo and behold, he's terrible against Arkansas, and here comes the mailman, they call him, the little guy, and he's delivered 3 weeks in a row. So it's a pretty awesome story, really.
You mentioned in a previous answer, Brad, about, you know, the points given up so far in the SEC. Alabama's coming off a game where they gave up 45, and their defense is averaging 30 points per game given up, which is unheard of for Nick Saban. So, number one, what did, as Nick said to you guys, or I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him yet, as to, you know, what he perceives the problem to be?
I think it's lack of tackling in the fall. A lot of it is,
yeah.
And then they ran up against a guy that was going to do everything in his power to beat Nick and Lane Kiffin and has the play calling ability to do it, you know, and they went so fast. I mean, it was just crossed into Alabama, by the way, Steve, just like, you know.
There you go.
Driving.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. So the time just changed, so now I'm talking to you, it's only, I'm getting younger as I go to Tuscaloosa. This is all. So, you know, Ole Miss went so fast. I mean, it was breathtaking to watch him. And when you do that, you know, I haven't talked to Nick yet about it, but I know what he's going to say. They didn't give them time to change up. Lane doesn't bring a lot of guys off the field, so there's not a lot of substitution with Ole Miss's offense. So subsequently, you know, Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, who's under an extreme amount of pressure at Tuscaloosa right now because he's not Nick Saban. But I know Nick probably got COVID because he was so sick of watching a film against Ole Miss. It just becomes sloppy, yeah, football when you can't substitute, and it, you know, drives coaches like Nick crazy. But that's just one of those games. I think you got to get used to it now that, you know, you can't hold. We're talking about how good Georgia's defense is, but there's very few teams in the country that have been holding people down like that. I think coaches right now are just happy to win a game. Like, hell, I gave up 30 points, but we scored 36, so good for us, you know. I think it's becoming that way, and you just have to just concede to the fact that people are going to score points on you, no matter how good your defense is.
And I believe that Alabama had available 764 yards was the max they could have gained in the game, and they gained 723. which is remarkable. When you look at the combination of, well, okay, you've watched the progression of Mac Jones. Where's he better now this year when you've looked at video compared to the Mac Jones you saw in person last year?
Well, he's a lot more confident. He knows it's his show, you know, and everybody's, you know, from the time they started practicing again, was what's going to be Bryce Young, you know, the hotshot freshman and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. I've watched this kid in practice for 4 years, and I've seen him throw it around, and I'm like, this guy's really good. And, you know, he's not Tua, but he doesn't try to play like Tua. And instinctively, he can't just, like, look one way and then throw a 60-yard dart like Tua can. But he knows how to run the offense, and he's as smart a guy. Nick said last time we did Alabama game a couple weeks ago, he said he's a really smart dude, and he mentioned Bernie Kosar when he was an assistant to Belichick at Cleveland. And he goes, he's one of the smartest guys I've ever been around. It's just a matter of the one thing he has to get over is he makes a mistake, you know, don't dwell on it. Go on to the next play and just shake it off. Because he said, you know, he grew up being a tennis player, and he always wants to break his racket when things go wrong. But he's settled in, and he really knows his capabilities, and he knows just get it in the playmaker's hands. And they've got just as many as they've always had. I know they lost two awesome wide receivers to the NFL, but they got three of them right now that are just as good or close to it. So, and then Najee Harris is, you know, really, really good, and he's only going to get better. And if he's not up there near the end in the Heisman, I'll be shocked. But I doubt that he'll get 200 yards on the ground against Georgia. If he does, I'll be surprised.
Well, that will put him on the track to winning the Heisman if he gets 200 yards rushing against the Georgia defense. That would send him on that pathway. But when you watch Wendell and the other wideouts and the coordination of that pass game, and then you mix in Harris, there's a threat of run pass, and you don't know which one on every single down with this team. I mean, what does that then do for Sarkisian, and what does that make for the guessing game for Georgia?
Well, you know, Sark's got it all at his fingertips. It'll be interesting that he's going to have to be the basically interim head coach on Saturday, how that'll affect his play calling, you know, because he's got decisions to make and all that. But, heck, when you've got as many guys that he can whip it around to, you know, Brian Robinson's no slouch either when Najee comes out. They don't lose much when he goes in. But I think Najee being the receiver he's been really the last 2 years, you know, they told him, you know, we're not going to play you every snap because we want some tread left on your tires when you go to the NFL. And they also said you got to work on your hands and get the better receiver and be one of those guys that can play every down in the NFL. And he's come through. And I think he's scary when you throw it to him out of the backfield because you get him in space and then he becomes a horse. And, I mean, he will hurdle you. He'll run through you. He'll shoulder you to the ground or he'll run around you because he's got all that capability. But, you know, Waddle's the fastest guy out there. Devontae Smith is more like Swanee to me, graceful-wise. I mean, he had a game against Ole Miss I'll never forget last year that we did, and he had a really another good one last week in there, went over Ole Miss again. So, and then John Metchie shows up in the game we did against A&M and, you know, catches 180 yards for the ball. So, I mean, just get it to one of those guys in space and let him go.
Yeah, and then obviously what Waddle can do on the return game is phenomenal.
Right.
No Nick Saban factor is all guesswork. It's not like in my career I didn't have to do some games where, because of circumstances, Joe couldn't be out there. So how does that what's your thought process on that, even though it's a guessing game?
Yeah, I think it'll have an effect a little bit. You can't have as good a coach as there's ever been not be on the sideline and not have it have an impact on the kids. But I'm sure Nick will be, you know, on a Zoom deal and everything until the 90-minute meeting, and then that's it. As far as I'm, from what I can tell, he can't have any more contact with anybody after an hour and a half before the game. But, you know, it's not just Sarkisian that he's got on his staff. Steve, he's got like six former head coaches on that staff. And I'm not going to go through the list because I don't have them in front of me right now.
Right.
He's got like six guys who were head coaches in college on the staff. So it's not like they're going to go out to practice and go, oh, my goodness, who's going to coach this spot today? You know, they're all over the place. But, yeah, it's a guessing game. It'll be weird for me just doing the game to look at that sideline and not see him there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those what do we do now group. I think, you know, they've been there. I was told we were only allowed to keep you until 3:50 Central Time, so since you crossed over to Central Time.
That's right. If I keep going, I get to Mountain West time. You're off the charts, man. I have to hang up on you.
Hey, be safe. It is so great to hear you. In fact, you've never sounded better, and I know it'll be a great game and a broadcast on Saturday night. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, buddy. And tell those poor students of yours to hang in there, would you?
They are hanging in there as best they can, right? Because you got to remember, they got to overcome me first.
That's good.
That's an issue.
That's a big hurdle. That's a big hurdle in itself, partner.
You got that right. Thanks, Brad.
Okay, buddy. See you.